Be here. Could you turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2? 1 Timothy chapter 2. Something the Lord has laid on my heart, and a number of you would have heard some of this before in the men's meeting, but it's a subject which I think perhaps some people think I dwell on too much, but to think about sin and the consequences thereof is a wonderful way of knowing the wonderful Saviour that we have from sin. 1 Timothy chapter 2, we'll begin reading in verse 3. The Bible says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Saviour, who will have all men to be saved, and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." Let's pray. Father, we just thank you once again that we're able to be here this morning, Lord. And we thank you for the privilege which is ours this morning to open the Word of God and to read it and know your mind and your will and your love for us from the pages of Holy Scripture. Father, I cannot preach this word now except that you are with me and you will help me, Lord. And I pray that you would move me aside and that everything would be done to honour and glorify your holy name. Amen. Amen. I'll just read verse 5 again, which is what I want to concentrate on. But we will be going through several passages of Scripture to concentrate on one word from verse 5. It says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." This morning I want us to think about this word, between. Between. Because we see here, I think about it this way. When a man goes to court, he hires a solicitor who acts between the law, that authority, and himself. That solicitor is between. And the Bible says that there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And our text there says, "For there is one God," so God, and man is there, "there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." And where is he? In between. I thank the Lord this morning that the Lord Jesus Christ is in between for me. I thank him that he was in between God and myself at Calvary 2,000 years ago. What do I mean by all this? Well, we know, we hear so many times from so many religions and false cults and all these things about all these different mediators, do this and do that. The Roman Catholic Church says the mediatrix, Mary is the core mediatrix. Well, this is not true. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. If you turn to Exodus chapter 12, and we'll just go through a few passages of Scripture to illustrate this point between. Exodus chapter 12. Verse 12 says this, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord." It starts here with the lamb, the sacrifice, and it says, "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood," so they are the people where ye are, God says, where you are. Between you and me, God, Jesus Christ himself, who will pass over the land, between you where you are and myself, there is this one thing, which is the blood of the Lamb between us both. "And I will pass over you. There is God passing over, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." The Egyptians also could have applied the blood of the Lamb to the lintel and the doorposts. There was the blood, the sacrifice, the lamb in between. Now if you turn over and a few pages to Leviticus chapter 9. Leviticus chapter 9. At the end of Exodus, we've been going through this in the men's study, through the tabernacle. In the last chapter of Exodus, the tabernacle was set up. And you know how the tabernacle was when the tabernacle was set up. There was the Holy of Holies and the holy place inside the tabernacle proper, and outside in the court of the tabernacle you had a couple of items, the laver and also the altar of sacrifice as well. And so you can imagine standing at the door, the court door to the whole tabernacle area, you are confronted with the altar before you get to the tabernacle proper where the glory of God dwelt. And it's just set up, it's just been set up at the end of Exodus. And what happens is the glory of God comes down and dwells between the cherubim on the Ark of the Covenant, in the Holy of Holies, the very presence of God. And the first few chapters of Leviticus are the starting of the descriptions for the start of the Mosaical sacrificial system, the sin offering, the peace offering, the burnt offering, and so forth, the sweet offerings, the non-sweet offerings. And we see now that finally, after all these instructions, so much of the Bible is taken up with the description of the tabernacle, the sacrifice for sin begins. Finally, in verse 5 of chapter 9, and they brought that, which is the sacrifices, which Moses commanded before the tabernacle of the congregation. And all the congregation drew near and stood before the Lord. Now the congregation is not numbered as we are numbered here this morning. There were 6 million people drew near in front of the door of the tabernacle. The court door there. And Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commanded that ye should do, and the glory of the Lord shall appear unto you. That's what he says there. And finally, Aaron begins the sacrifice. And Moses said unto Aaron, go unto the altar, and offer thy sin offering, and thy burnt offering, and make an atonement for thyself and for the people, and make the offering for the people, and make an atonement for them, as the Lord commanded. Aaron therefore went unto the altar and slew the calf of the sin offering, which was for himself. And the sons of Aaron brought the blood unto him, and he dipped his finger in the blood and put it upon the horns of the altar and poured out the blood at the bottom of the altar. So here we see the blood of the sin offering being poured out upon and round about the altar. The altar of sacrifice. All 6 million of the children of Israel were watching to see what would happen. It's the first sacrifice and the Mosaic system, the first sacrifice for sin. And then it happens in let's read verse 22. And Aaron lifted up his hand toward the people and blessed them, and came down, that is down from the altar, from offering of the sin offering and the burnt offering and the peace offerings. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people, all 6 million of the children of Israel. You can imagine what it had been like. That was the eighth, if we go back into chapter 8, that was the eighth day that the children of Israel were standing at the door. For 8 days they were there, wondering what would happen. Was the sacrifice for sin accepted or not? And then suddenly it did happen in verse 23. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people, and there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces. All 6 million of the children of Israel fell flat on their face when they saw the consequences for their sin. When they saw, it says, a fire came out from where God dwelt, out of the curtains in the tabernacle, and consumed the offering, and where the blood of the sin offering was poured out around the tabernacle, around the altar, in the court of the tabernacle. And what happened when the people saw the consequence of their sin? They fell flat on their face, and they shouted, it says. They shouted in lamentation, in terror. screams. When they saw what happened for sin. See, we often say that to get to the holy place, to get to the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle, we come through the court door. And we have to go by the altar. We have to pass the altar to get to God. But think about it from God's perspective. God has to pass the altar to get to us. And how thankful were the children of Israel that day that the sacrifice for their sins was upon that altar. The altar, the animal sacrifice, was between God and men that day. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin." 19 years later, turn over to Numbers chapter 16 with me. 19 years later, as the children of Israel were still going around the wilderness, and the episode of that gainsaying of Korah happens. And the next morning, it says in verse 41, Numbers chapter 16, "But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, 'Ye have killed the people of the Lord.'" Can you imagine the sin calling Korah and his people the people of the Lord? "And it came to pass, when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared again." I wondered if they had in their minds what happened 19 years previously when the glory of the Lord appeared. "And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, 'Get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment.' And they," Moses and Aaron, "fell on their faces." He said, "Get away from them, that they may consume all the children of Israel, all the 6 million of them, in a moment," he said. But now we see someone else comes between. "And Moses said unto Aaron, 'Take a censer, and put fire therein from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly unto the congregation, and make an atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from the Lord, wrath upon the sin of the children of Israel." Sin. "There is wrath gone out from the Lord, the plague is begun. And Aaron took as Moses commanded and ran into the midst of the congregation. And behold, the plague was begun among the people, and he put on incense and made an atonement for the people. And finally, the high priest stood where? Between the dead and the living. And the plague was stayed." Can I put it in this way? Aaron stood between God and the living. The dead were those who met God in all his complete righteousness. And now the wrath, it says wrath has come out from the Lord. It says that. The dead were those people, those 14,000 people whom Aaron didn't reach in time. The high priest stood between God and the dead and the living. "For there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." And 19 years after this again, we won't turn to it for the sake of time, but in Numbers chapter 21, when again the children of Israel sin in the eyes of God, and the Lord sent fiery serpents to devour them. And we read in John, we turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. What happens in Numbers 21? Moses was to make a serpent, a brazen serpent, and he was to lift it up. And it says in verse 7 of Numbers chapter 21, the people said, "We have sinned, and in faith they beheld that fiery serpent. John chapter 3 verse 14 says this, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." You see, when those children of Israel beheld in faith the fiery serpent, the brazen serpent, they were redeemed from the curse which was the serpent. And when the Lord Jesus Christ was lifted up for us on Calvary, he became sin for us, him who knew no sin. When we went to Israel, we saw what the cross, a typical crucifixion cross, looked like. And it wasn't massive, it wasn't 40 foot high, it was just raised slightly above the earth. The Son of Man must be lifted up. Isaiah 53 says, "He was despised and rejected of men." The Gospel says, Matthew 27, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" You see, both man and God rejected Christ. God couldn't look upon sin. And there was Jesus lifted up from the earth, and he hung between man and God. He hung between man and God. "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." There is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. And you know the amazing, mind-blowing thing of this? Do you know what it is? We read in the Old Testament how the animals were the sacrifice. They were an atonement. And in Exodus chapter 12, verse 13, it says, "It will be a token for you, a token which would be redeemed at Calvary." They made a covering for sin, an atonement, which means covering in the Old Testament. But the wonderful thing that they all looked forward to Calvary, where God himself came between God and myself. Can you believe it? Can you take it in? Charles Wesley put it this way: "Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? In vain the firstborn seraph tries to sound the depth of love divine." And Psalm 40 says of Jesus, "I delight to do thy will, O God. I delight to do thy will." And Christ, God himself, Christ delighted. He absolutely delighted to be the object of God's wrath on my sin for me. You know, in conclusion, we'll turn to John chapter 21. We focused upon how Christ came between God and ourselves. John chapter 21, verse 20, after the resurrection. Christ was the one who passed over Egypt and smote the firstborn himself. But what a wonderful thing that we can turn to him, him who is altogether lovely. Then Peter, in verse 20, "Turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leans on his breast at supper." You know, oh, to be John, to have leaned on Jesus' breast. That one who became sin for us. I don't know what it'll be like in heaven, you know, I really don't. But Paul said, "I have a desire to depart." Why? To be with Christ, which is far better. To be with Christ. in 4 days' time, I'm getting married. And I just, the excitement and wonderful, you know, the bliss of building up for a wedding day when I will be with Catherine together at last. You know, it's such an excitement. Those of you who are married know what it's like, the feeling. And as I said, I don't know what it'll be like at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Neither hath it entered into the heart of this man the things that God hath prepared for me. But one day he who will completely devour and do away with all sin upon the face of the earth, I will see him, and he is my beloved, my gentle, gentle Jesus. And when I awake in his likeness, perhaps I'll be able to rest my head upon his gentle breast, him who is altogether lovely, him who came between God and myself for my salvation. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, we do love you, Lord, and thank you for all that you've done for us. It is a simple salvation, Lord. We thank you that there are no more animal sacrifices to be made, because everything was done complete at Calvary. It is finished. And what a wonderful thing that we have. Help us to be bold in telling others of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. And help us ever to love you in our imperfect ways, Lord, until we get to be with you and we are perfect and we will love you as we ought. And our hearts will overflow with perfect praise. In Jesus' name we pray all these things, Father. Amen. Amen.